The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. After Louis de Franchi has made the shocking discovery concerning the duplicity of Emile Latouche, he attempts to take his life. But his friend Pierre stays his hand, reminding him that he has a duty to his family in Corsica. Louis, who has already made one thrust with the broken sword which belonged to his father, throws it aside, staunches the wound, and declares that he will devote his entire life to his mother and to the de Franchi traditions. So Louis and Pierre travel back to Corsica. Louis determined now to learn the ways of the Corsicans, how to shoot, how to use a sword, and become a hunter. Meanwhile, also on their way to Ajaccio from the south of Corsica, are Dino and Pietro Guidici, who are still smarting from the disappointment of Lucien de Franchi's escape. When they reach Ajaccio, the ship from Toulon has but recently put in, and to their amazement, they believe they see Lucien walking up the street with the European. It is, of course, his twin brother, Louis. Instantly, they make a resolution.
It's almost too good to be true. Lucien de Franchi here in Ajaccio. And he doesn't know that we're here.
It means that we have the whip hand.
Whatever happens, we mustn't be seen. Somehow or other, we'll have to separate those two. Look, they've stopped before the store. Whom do you suppose the other man is?
Perhaps some European who's come by the boat from Toulon. Someone who might be a friend of the de Franchi's.
How to separate them, that's the question. Corsican law states that we must not harm those who are not concerned in the vendetta.
Nor can we strike in the town. It is only by ambush.
Ambush or abduction.
What do you mean?
You know the humiliation I've been through. I promised the rest of our family that the Franchi would be tied to a stake, lashed to death before their eyes. Instead, he escapes. And I'm made look like a buffoon. Some way, somehow, we must take him back to the south alive.
Wouldn't it be better to wait in the mountains and shoot him dead?
No. If we can get him alive... Keep still. Look over toward here. Keep well behind your horse.
Look. Now they turn and go into the store.
We shall have to be patient. Of course, if they don't separate, we can do nothing here in Ajaccio. But later in the mountains, if we could stampede one of the horses...
Better now to wait and watch. Perhaps the two will separate here in the town. And if Lucien de Franchi is alone, if we can catch him unawares, perhaps club him and sling him over a horse and gallop away, all will be well.
That's it, Louis. That's the material your mother would like.
Black.
Oh, she looks her best in black velvet. That beautiful rope of pearls she wears, a wonderful contrast.
Black, a sign of mourning. It matches my mood, Pierre.
Oh, Louis, now. I've tried to cheer you up all the way over. Please forget your black mood. Just remember that you're going home.
I try. At present, it's so hard. Everything's black. Like this cloth which you think I should buy for my mother. To me, this week is the funeral cortege of my youth.
What nonsense.
I feel that suddenly I've become an old man. That my youth has been buried just as you see a man or a woman buried in Paris. The plumed black horses drawing a hearse. The drivers all wearing black, with black cocked hats on their heads. With a troop of mourners in carriages.
Will you take this, sir?
Yes, wrap it up.
Certainly, sir. Certainly.
Before he comes back, let me entreat you, Louis. There is a future for you. Look at it this way. Try to realize that you had a lucky escape.
Poor consolation. Nearly was my ideal, my future. Now there is no future. Only nothingness.
But this is so different to your mood in Paris. You said you had something to fight for.
My mother, my brother, the de Franchi, yes. Perhaps when we reached my home, I might shake off this depression, but... Oh, Pierre, I see her face everywhere. Not the frank, open face that I knew, but a face that mocks. Those last words of hers always ringing in my ears. You'd never have made me happy, even if you had had your uncle's money.
Your parcel, sir, it's ready.
Oh, thank you. I'll pay the man, Louis.
Let me.
Oh, we can settle this later between us when we reach your mother's home. Here you are. This is the money, I believe.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Come along, Louis. Oh, so brilliant in the sunshine after the dimness in the shop.
I haven't been very helpful, have I, Pierre? But I'll try. You've been awfully kind, even to the point of thinking for me, suggesting that I buy a present to take home to my mother.
I understand that Lucien always did when he came to Ajaccio. That's why this will please her so much. Now, look here, Louis. What you really need is a good draught of wine. That might lift your spirits.
As you say.
What a beautiful place this is. I think in a few weeks you'll be a different person, Louis. A complete change of scene, living a new life amongst new people, and getting to know your mother.
I wonder what's happened to my brother.
Well, if your mother's words are true about the tradition of the family, he's safe. You would know.
What is it between us, Pierre? Affinity? Telepathy? Thought transmission? What?
There's so much in the cosmic that we don't understand, Louis. Perhaps, if Lucien has been spared and you get to know each other as brothers, you might be able to give a name to this link between the two of you. Oh, here's the inn.
Oh, a man serving behind the counter this time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wine for two. Sweet wine in long glasses.
Yes, sir.
Louis, I've been thinking. So far, I've made no arrangements about horses.
Your wine, sir.
Oh, thank you. Money.
Thank you.
We should make arrangements about the horses soon. We have a long journey before us.
Yes. Ah, that wine's good. Practically all gone at one draught.
You were thirsty.
Listen, Louis, I think I'd better go across to the livery stables and arrange about horses straight away. You look tired, gone. Sit here at this table and I'll bring the horses back.
Oh, let me come with you.
Oh, there's no need for the two of us to go. Stay here. I won't be long. Order some more wine if you feel thirsty. It'll make you feel better and it'll fortify you for that journey.
All right, Pierre. Perhaps in my present mood, I'd best be by myself anyway.
Pierre Gaudet hurried out of the gaily painted inn and across the sun-drenched street to the livery stables. But there he met with a check. At first it seemed that a pack horse would not be available. Since Louis on this occasion had brought most of his belongings, it seemed that a pack horse would be most necessary. However, after a great deal of persuading and arguing, and after some money had been exchanged, Pierre finally found himself in possession of two hacks and a donkey for the pack. Leaving these from the other end of the street near the harbour to the inn, he secured all three animals to the tethering post by the door of the inn. Walking inside, he found the inn to be empty, except for the Corsican barman in his open silk shirt and black sash, who was now industriously polishing glasses behind the counter.
Oh, barman, my friend, where is he?
I cannot tell you, sir.
I arranged to meet him back here.
I thought he'd gone to find you, sir. He ordered wine and more drink. They'd waited for half an hour or more, then walked up and down outside and finally crossed the road. I guessed that he'd gone to meet you halfway.
I was much longer than I expected. I had difficulty in getting horses.
Ah, horses. I'm a stranger here, monsieur. I have but lately bought this inn. I'm from Bonifacio. And my own horses, which I bought here with my goods and chattels, oh, they were snapped up like that. Ah, yes. Horses are getting scarce. You were lucky, monsieur, to buy what you could.
Where's my friend? That's the question. I didn't meet him on my way back.
Indeed. And I thought your paths would have crossed.
I think I'd better walk up the street.
Oh, perhaps it would be better to stay here, sir. He will come back, surely.
You're right, barman. This is where I did arrange to meet him. Very well, but I'd consider it a favor if you'd pour me another glass of wine. I've been arguing for over an hour. Arguing over those horses out there.
Dino!
Yes?
Pull up!
What's wrong?
The body. It's slipping off the back of the pack horse. Just a moment.
He hasn't recovered consciousness yet?
No, he was slipping sideways over the pack horse.
That would never do to have him dragged along the mountain path. To have him dead before we got him home.
I can hardly believe our good fortune, Dino. To think that he walked right into our hat.
It was so easy. And so surprising. As a rule, all of the Franchi that I've ever dealt with have always been on the alert. and for him to walk along the road, in amongst the trees of the brook in Ayaccio.
Almost as though he were a tourist admiring its silver beauty. I still can't believe our good fortune.
This time we take no risks, Pietro. His hands, his arms, his entire body tightly bound. Oh, I like Pietro, look. He's recovering consciousness. The blow you dealt him is not so severe after all.
Oh. His eyes are open.
Where am I?
Can't you guess, Monsieur de Franchi?
Who are you?
Who am I? You haven't recovered your senses yet.
Who are you? What does this mean? I can't move. What does this all mean?
Perhaps now you can see who I am. Eh, Monsieur de Franchi?
Who are you?
Surely your memory is not as bad as that, considering it was less than a week when we last met.
Less than a week? What are you talking about? I've never seen you before in my life.
You hear that, Pietro? He's never seen me before. Oh, that's good, very good. Wait till we take you home, my friend. You will wish then that you'd never seen me before. And remember this, pig. This time we take no risks. You will be flayed alive with no time wasted.
Louis, uncomprehending, stared in amazement at the face which leered over him. What is to be his fate? And how will this affect Marianne when she sees the prisoner? Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.